You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
We haven't had that annoying coffee guy stop
so
by.
So happy
in a long
he has
time.
Not been around here all
I think he got arrested.
God.
Maybe picked up by ICE.
Well, you know, he doesn't.
No. Here, who wants coffee? Here, I just mentioned.
You got to get out of here, man. You got to get out of here.
Push him out the door.
Get him out of here, Don.
Yep.
Just.
Okay.
Again,
get
we have to lock the door.
Yep. Okay. All right. All right. He's leaving.
Get out of here.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Coffee.
Coffee. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young, and Dominic Lee in the producer chair. Beautiful sunshine this morning. Look at it. Out the big window here, overlooking State Street, downtown Madison. Looking great. 72 for a high today. Right now, it's right around 50 degrees.
I'm so relieved.
Take a deep breath.
Trump says new comprehensive crime bill is in the works.
Oh, good.
Thank goodness.
Good.
Oh, we got to stop crime right now.
Yeah, we do.
All right.
Should we take a call here?
Yeah, let's take it.
We got Matt on the line checking in from Middleton this morning. Good morning, Matt. What's on your mind? What's happening?
Morning, guys. I heard you talking about socialism and Ma'am Dami. And it occurs to me that this late stage capitalism that we're experiencing kind of mimics communism in some ways, because when you have less and less companies making particular things, and during the pandemic, they decided to cut certain things and only produce a smaller number of things, like cutting certain flavors of things, and ice cream companies are doing this and so on and so forth. And with Trump buying up a stake in Intel, and they're trying to tell companies what to make, what to do. MAGA loves Russia, and they want to become Russia. They're trying to make us into Russia, which is more communism than capitalism.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So it seems like MAGA is inadvertently pushing communism, but they don't understand the connections or see it.
I think you might be onto something.
So that's really ironic, isn't it?
It's incredibly ironic, yes.
It's insane.
It is insane.
Yeah, welcome to
but
our
that's
world.
That's MAGA,
here.
Right?
It's
a delusional fever dream.
Right.
Do you think, though, I think more people are waking up, but...
I don't think so. My MAGA friend in Milwaukee often calls me a communist and a terrorist. And, you know, he just throws these words around. And to them, we're the communists and, you know, we're the danger to this country. Mm-hmm. So they don't listen to anything else. They don't see the militarization of our cities. They don't feel uncomfortable with anything that's going in now. And now we've got to look forward to the comprehensive crime bill that Trump is putting together. A lot of problems coming up here.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of stories to report on, especially tomorrow as well. So
Matt, thank you for that call.
Thanks, Matt. We're going to get into immigration here, right? We got to talk about this because I came across a cut here. This is Tim Weiss. He is a writer and anti-racism lecturer, and he had some really good points about immigration in this country, and this is cut 190. So let's listen to this.
This immigration drama that we have right now is only possible because we don't understand our own history. As a country, and particularly those of us of European descent, we have lied to ourselves about how we got here. And for what reason? See, black folks know why they're here. Native peoples know why they're here and how they got here. A lot of Asian folk know, particularly if they're Chinese American, they know they got here because their ancestors were brought over to work on the railroads by the railroad barons who didn't care if thousands of them died laying track 19, 20 hours a day. But for those of us who are from Europe, we have this fiction that we've told, and we believe it, even though there's no truth to it. You know what the fiction is? It's two parts. Number one, we say things like, with regard to Mexicans coming over the border, with regard to immigrants coming over, but only that border. That's the only one we care about, right? The southern border. I find that interesting. We're not flipping out about Canada, right? We don't have any of the Minutemen or the anti-immigrant groups sitting off the coast of Nova Scotia with a gun and a scope trying to, like, pick off the sneaky Canadians that are trying to sneak in here for our superior healthcare system. Which, after all, would be a pretty stupid thing to do. But in any event, we only care about that one border, forgetting for a minute that that border was created at the end of a war that was started on false pretense by this country, after which we jacked half of their country. And you weren't taught that in school either, because our history books aren't interested in telling the truth. They tell this very patriotic history that has no relationship to the fact. So that border is artificial. Mexican folk who are coming here, documented or not, let's be clear, are coming home. Their families were here before our families were here in almost every instance. But we forget that, and then we say things like, well, I don't mind them coming. I just want them to come legally like my people did. The hell does that even mean? Come legally? There was no law to break when our people came. The fact that we didn't break a law that didn't even exist, you don't get cookies for that. You don't get like a pat on the back and a gold star because your great, great, great whatever was law-abiding when there was no law that he could have violated, even if he wanted to. But we've told this lie that we came for these upstanding principles. So we'll say things like, well, you know, our people came for liberty and freedom, democracy. These people are just coming for stuff. They're just coming for jobs. They're just coming for healthcare. They're just coming for stuff. We came for high-minded principle, right? Because we believe that. What kind of third grade version of American history is that, right? Like when Donald Trump says, well, Mexico's not sending their best. What the hell, you think Europe sent their best? Europe, no, our people were the losers of Europe. I'm not trying to be an asshole, I'm just telling you the truth. Like, our people were the losers of Europe. The winners didn't get on the boat. You understand what I'm saying? The winners didn't leave. Why the hell would you leave if you were winning? Only the losers left because they had no choice. They were dying, they were starving, they couldn't support their families. A lot of them were convicts who were sold into indentured servitude to work for rich European people. They were barely above the level of a slave themselves. The idea that we had these high, we didn't believe in liberty and freedom. And we know that because once we got to the colonies, we set up the opposite of liberty and freedom. And I don't just mean that for like black folks and native folks. I mean, even for other white folks. Like, we spent most of the time in the early colonies trying to figure out who the witch was. Right? It was like, well, you're not a Christian. Well, no, you're not a Christian. Well, no, you're not a Christian. I'm going to hang you from a tree. Really? Well, I'm going to drown you in the stream. Well, I'm going to set you on fire. Like, that wasn't liberty. The colonies were some of the least free places in the history of the cosmos. But we act like we came for liberty, and they're just here to take advantage. Let's be clear. Our people didn't come for liberty. They came for stuff. They came for stuff like land. They came for stuff like opportunity. They came for stuff like the ability to feed their families. And there's no shame in that. None at all. But just like there's no shame in our families having done that, there's no shame in brown families doing that and coming over that border from Mexico, Central America, or wherever else they might be coming.
And that, again, is writer and anti-racism lecturer Tim Weiss.
Tim Weiss.
Boy, okay. That lays it right out there, doesn't it?
It sure does.
That's a great piece.
Yeah.
It really is.
14 minutes past the hour. We're getting some texts in here this morning, John. You can text us on the Civic Media app. Doug says, why aren't you guys burning a flag on State Street this morning? It's not illegal. Not yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Doug.
Well, you know.
On top of it. Yeah.
I've got also this, you know, they're trying to make the city safer, and Trump wants to send troops into Chicago and all the other liberal cities, oddly.
Yeah.
Even though many of the southern... Well, let me just tell you that I got a story here. A total of 53 cities in Louisiana, Mississippi, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia had higher crime rates than Washington, D.C. in 2024. Despite this, these states deployed their own National Guard troops to help address D.C.'s newly declared crime emergency. Jeez. Interesting fact, isn't it?
Why would they do that?
Wow. Okay. All right. I thought this was another... We're kind of clearing clearing the paperwork out here. So I'm going to skip around a little bit.
It's almost like a dumpster fire.
Well, yeah, it is almost like that. Trump said that Biden didn't know what he was doing when he was pardoning all these people, right? Because of the auto pen. All right, let's listen to Cut 201. This is Trump talking about Biden. You won't believe it. Let's listen.
Okay.
About nothing. That means that all those pardons that he gave to some very bad people, very unpatriotic people, very evil people, it looks to me like those pardons are worthless. Because, number one, you shouldn't use an auto pen, very specifically. But if you do, it has to be a very good reason. Oh, and they have to know that the president wanted it. The president didn't want this.
He didn't.
The president didn't know he was alive, okay?
Oh, that
he never approved any of this stuff. He wasn't for open borders and all the other things. He was never for open borders. I've known Biden a long time.
Wow.
He was never very sharp, but he was never in favor of open borders and all of the other things he did to destroy our country.
He really doesn't know what he's talking about, does he?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, he is actually rewriting history while Biden's still alive.
In the moment.
So here we go.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones right now. Joe, what do you got for us?
Good morning.
It's just so painful to listen to this man who believes that he knows everything.
Yes.
I know. If there's one thing you learn in life is a little humility, because, boy, we don't know. However, we do know that people confuse the word socialism. It's just this mushy term that you can kind of apply here or here, or I don't like that program because it's socialism. Your previous caller mentioned Trump's a big hogging of Intel, just getting in there and getting ownership in Intel to 10%.
Yes.
I can't think of anything more socialist than that, because that is, there's just no way you get anything that's more, quote, socialist, government involvement in economics, where we're used to the idea of government being involved in products that help us. Social Security,
right,
Medicare,
yes.
VA, very successful. Those are all socialist entities.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of perhaps sad that Mr. Trump and his fellow writers in the Sage are going after those programs, which are so popular and helpful. Whereas, let me just get myself another plane, another billion-dollar plane, and get government money to fix up my plane for me. The problem is, I think that the word socialism, who knows what it means? You know, who knows what is socialism? Gee, I love Medicare, or is that one guy had that wonderful sign, tell the government to get their hands off my Social Security.
Yes, I know.
Right. Yes.
I know. You know, the socialism thing, true, I mean, they want to take up more businesses. They want to invest in more businesses because they want to share in the profits. And you know what? That is pure
Intel.
Socialism right there.
Yeah.
Right? Making a profit from businesses. I can't imagine a more socialist thing to do. And they're doing it very slowly in a way, in a creeping way that their cult members do not notice. Mm. And we could be out there all day long saying what we're saying, Joe, but they're not going to believe anything we're saying.
Yeah, I mean, a good example that's on the platter is the National Weather Service, which is, you know, a public good that we pay for through tax dollars. We love it. You know, we're just used to having it there.
Right.
And let's start talking about what happens when we have to pay a fee to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Which socialism do you like? I love the Weather Service.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Good point, Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. 19 minutes past the hour. We're getting a couple of other calls here. Hang on the line. We're going to take our quick break. Then we'll check in with Brittany Merlot, get the latest on this beautiful weather. It's all coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning, and Brewers tickets right around the corner. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX 92.7. This is John and Gordy in the Morning. Feel free to text us or voice note us and tune in. on the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. You can get us anywhere in the world.
It is 23 minutes past the hour. Beautiful sunshine downtown Madison on State Street. Let's check in on the weather with our WMDX meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. How's it going down there?
It's really nice down
great.
There.
Great. How is it in Wausau?
A little chilly. Still rocking the hoodie this morning because...
How cold is it there?
Yeah, how cold?
About 46 degrees this morning.
Okay.
So just a few degrees cooler than you. Not too bad. I don't know. It just cuts right through me, but I've been leaving a window open overnight, so that's probably my
fault. You got to have a nice cold to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Get it while you can, right?
I know. I know. 55 degrees here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do we expect for the rest of the day? Looking pretty nice, huh?
Yes. Bright, beautiful, a lot of sunshine to start the day. I think those clouds are going to hold off until this evening, and then we got a chance of rain late tonight. Maybe some thunder overnight. Okay. Linger a few showers in the morning tomorrow, but then it kicks on out of here.
All right.
Cold front. Yeah, another one. How's that?
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then looking ahead to the Labor Day holiday weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, what do we expect?
Perfect weather. High pressure system sits right over us, keeps the rain just to the west. It's pretty crazy. It stalls this system, and it just spins there in Iowa and Minnesota while we sit here nice, bright, and sunny, comfortable, mid-70s, pretty much. Low 70s on Friday, Saturday, then we'll hit those mid-70s on Sunday and Monday. And then we'll go to the upper 70s for middle of next week.
Wow.
Then the rain pushes in by maybe Wednesday or
something. Well, I guess Gordy and I picked the right time to take a few days off. We're taking 4 days off.
Yeah.
we needed after filling in for Beach Waba. A great show last night. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep. So, we'll be gone Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but back Tuesday. But,
now, we have a text here from Robert. He says the weather fee will be paid to AccuWeather. They're buying up all the Doppler radars. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Wow. I'm not sure. Let me look into that.
All right.
I hadn't heard about that, but Interesting.
All right, Brittany.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you
again.
All
right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Yep. All right.
That's Brittany Merlot, our WMDX meteorologist. Hey, it's time for us to give away some tickets. We've got Brewers tickets up for grabs here. We've been giving these away all week long. And these are for the September 4th game against the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, the Brewers pulled it out in the ninth inning last night against the Diamondbacks. They won 9-8. Brewers continuing to be hot. We'll give away a pair of tickets to the first caller. Whatever caller you are, if you're the first caller, 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-8255. Call us and you'll be going to the game. And we'll meet you there on Thursday, September 4th against the Philadelphia Phillies. Give us a call. I think we have our caller on the line right now. Can we go to Carrie? Carrie calling from... Where's Carrie calling from?
Tulsa.
Oh.
Really?
And we have to apologize for what you had to go through at prom.
Carrie, must have been awful for you. You've never heard that
one
before,
you never heard
right?
that, I know.
Never, not once.
Yeah.
Well,
congratulations.
Know. Where is Tulsa? I don't know.
Wauwatosa.
Oh, Wauwatosa. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I got you. All right. Well, hang on the line here, Carrie. So you can make it on September 4th, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an evening game, right?
Yeah.
I believe so. Yep. We'll have to double check on that.
We're not sure.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Hang on the line here. Dom's going to get all your information we need to get, and we'll talk to you and get all
Congratulations,
that. Congratulations,
Carrie.
Congrats. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Very good.
Yeah, I was looking up socialism here, and in a socialist system, businesses can be owned as a form of social ownership, where the state owns and manages the means of production for the public benefit. This is a central concept in state socialism and can involve state-owned enterprises designed to generate profit for the public. Public-private services, they implement government policies through that. However, socialism encompasses various models, and social ownership can just be a part of that. There are other forms like cooperatives or community ownership. My sons are always talking about the cooperative model where everybody owns part of the businesses and benefits from it. That's what they're always talking about, at least Gen Z.
Okay.
So just thought I'd kind of focus a little bit on what we're talking about here when we're hearing that they want to buy up more businesses.
Right.
Or have partial ownership in them. And, you know, the way Trump is acting, he's going to tell Intel what to do. Mm-hmm. He's telling other businesses what to do. My God. Okay, let's get to one. What?
We've got Mark on the line.
Oh, we have Mark on the line. Let's go.
Mark, we got to keep it real quick here. What do you got for us this morning?
You know, what Trump is doing is national socialism, fascism, what Mussolini did, you know, with...
Oh, yes, national.
Corporate thing there, so... It's,
right.
That's the difference there. And Trump is acting like a national socialist fascist, you know, sending in the troops and... Who knows before the national he's going to order the National Guard to start splitting heads and try to get your response so he can see the blood flow like he wants to see and he can hoist up the bloodstained banner of the Confederacy or the stars and bars which are actually the real Confederate flag it's just what they're flying around all the time was just a Confederate battle flag. It was never really the official flag.
Well, I'm glad you called on that, Mark, because that is the other socialism that we didn't cover in that little statement that I read. But
Mark,
right. You're right. National socialism, and that is fascism.
Thanks for that call, Mark. I want to mention also that Brewers game against the Phillies on September 4th with John and Gordy sitting next to you. That is all due to and thanks to Downdrin's Distilling. That's Downdrin's Distilling in Cottage Grove.
And for Kerry, that is an afternoon game.
Yeah, it is an afternoon game. We've got Kerry on the line, and we'll talk to her during our break here for the Midwest Food and Farm Report. Mike McCabe is in the studio next on John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX. Stay right where you are.
Morning, 92.7. Hope we haven't brought you down today. A little late for saying that, but we apologize again.
Well, we have rays of sunshine out there.
For the administration.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day weather-wise. Highs in the low 70s. Right now, 53 degrees. And Mike McCabe joining us now. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
You got plans for the Labor Day holiday? You doing any traveling? Or are you going to stick at the homestead there?
I'm not doing any traveling.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
going to be around here. Yeah.
Good. I just want to kind of play off the song, The American Dream is Killing Me. You posted a letter editorial from somebody who says that they're living in the shadow of the American dream. And it's an individual who's not married. It's not because they don't love each other, I'm reading from the letter, but because getting married would kick my partner and my daughters off the Medicaid that keeps them healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't emphasize enough how important health care is in this country for people to navigate life.
Yeah.
If we didn't have the possibility of going bankrupt with health care costs, we could do so many things. We'd be so free to do other things and not ever have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And it boggles my mind. If we could just take care of universal health care, we could just free up so many people. I can't imagine what it must be like in European countries where they have universal health care and they don't even have to worry about it. I mean, they can just do business. They can create a business. They can employ people without worrying about covering them with health care. This is just an incredible impediment on our society, isn't it?
It is. No question about it. And it's an unnecessary impediment.
Yes.
And when people say we can't afford universal health care. We can't, you know, a national health care program would never work.
Yeah.
Then you look at dozens and dozens of industrialized countries all over the world.
Canada, right away.
Who not only have it and have made it work, but have removed a huge stress from the lives of the citizenries there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for our country, a country this wealthy with 20-some million millionaires and hundreds and hundreds of billionaires, with that kind of wealth in our country, for us to not do this is madness. It's just sheer madness, and it puts a lot of people on the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
And you know, and that man who wrote the letter, mm-hmm. sort of on behalf of his family, mm-hmm. he didn't just write about healthcare. He wrote about, you know, can you even afford to have children with the cost of childcare? Can you even think about owning a home? And if you do own a home, can you keep that home? Can you ward off foreclosure when you run into rough times? Yeah. And you know that those are the key features of the American dream. This idea that if you work hard, you can have a home of your own. Yes. You can raise a family. Your kids can end up being better off than you are. That's the essence of the American dream, that your kids will be better off than you are. And now I think an awful lot of Americans have this nagging feeling that their kids will be worse off.
Yeah.
That they may be struggling. They may not know where, you know, the next meal is coming from, but they have this fear that their kids will be even worse off. And so, yeah, that, you know, here's somebody, and he, you know, he says in the letter, this isn't a Democratic or Republican problem. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an American problem.
It is.
We've got all of these people who are just not able to make it. And then we've got this grotesque economic inequality so that so many people are just rich beyond the wildest measure. And you know, and with AI looming, there's an awful lot of jobs that are going to be eliminated.
Yes.
And if our country doesn't take some action at some point as AI develops, what you're going to have is the people who didn't invent AI. They, you know, it shouldn't be their property, but they've made it their property. They are the owners of AI. Those billionaires are going to become trillionaires.
Yes, yes.
And then an awful lot of people will be without work and will be left behind. And so there's a recipe out there.
Universal basic income is part of that.
What I was going to say is there's a recipe for what is really grotesque economic inequality to grow worse.
Oh, yes.
To grow significantly worse because you're going to see people who had jobs, who had professions, you're going to see those professions taken over by machines. Mm. And it won't just, there is this wonderful article by Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, and talked about three different jobs. And I think I mentioned it briefly last week.
Yeah.
You know, there are the jobs that involve making something, and there are the jobs that are sort of thinking jobs, anywhere from lawyers to journalists. Mm-hmm. And then there are the caring jobs, the people who are sort of caring for others, nurses, you know, people who are, you know, counselors, all that kind of stuff. And people, I think that robots and AI are only going to go after the jobs that involve making something. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody from the lawyers to the journalists can be replaced by AI too, the way this is going. Yeah. And I think there's going to be an awful lot of people who felt like they had a profession, they had a career path, and then all of a sudden a machine is going to take over for them. And then where are they left?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so whatever it is that, however we work to redistribute wealth in a way that makes our society sustainable, we got to get busy having that conversation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I think that, you know, we started talking about the gig economy about 10 years ago, and that was the warning flag right there. For me, I thought, wow, we really need this universal basic income thing because, you know, people in the gig economy, they make money on the side. Mm-hmm. They don't count it, you know, as something to tax because they think they can make it, something they can sneak by on, but of course they're cheating on their Social Security at that point, their retirement. So, you know, we need something to kind of prop everybody up with this new economy. And now with AI, it wasn't just gig economy and Lyft workers. You know, we have this whole thing where people's jobs are being replaced with AI and robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we've got to really think about this. It's not making people lazy or sitting on the couch or something like that. You know, it's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It's something, it's a safety net for everybody, right?
Yeah, and whatever form this takes, I mean, we have to make sure that just all of the proceeds mm-hmm. from yes. the savings that are achieved by replacing people with machines just don't go into the pockets of the billionaires who right. will become trillionaires. You've got to have a society where the benefits of technological advancements yeah. are widely shared,
mm-hmm.
or we're not going to have a society that can hold together. And I think in a way that's what that young man's letter was really all about, is that there are so many signs in our society of sort of that American dream slipping from the grasp of regular working people.
Yeah.
And we got to do something about mm-hmm. that.
We're talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author. Your latest Substack article talking about a Wisconsin minister.
Yeah.
And we kind of alluded to this, I think, last week, touched on it a little bit. But tell us more about Pastor Jonathan Barker and what he's done recently.
He's a Lutheran pastor, or at least was.
In Kenosha.
In Kenosha.
Right.
Yeah. And he led a Lutheran congregation there, and he prepared a sermon. He was fixing to stand before his congregation and endorse Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his denomination nationally said you can't do that.
Yeah.
And he resigned his position. He gave up his vocation and then went ahead and delivered the sermon off church grounds because he felt so strongly. He feels that AOC is the what would Jesus do candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Look out for your neighbor candidate.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And so he went ahead and gave this sermon and surrendered his job. Because he felt so strongly, and he did it to endorse someone who is not a declared candidate for president and may never be.
Yeah,
so
right.
I don't think it was even necessarily about, you know, trying to give a boost to AOC. It was really a plea for leadership in this country that isn't beholden to those billionaires and those wealthy interests, and somebody who has the courage of conviction and is willing to speak truth to the American people. And you know, so I decided to write an article about it because I do think that AOC is a generational talent.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. and that's actually the title of the article that I wrote, is Generational Talent.
Yeah.
You know, and the article is really as much about Jonathan Barker and what he did mm-hmm. as it is about AOC. But mm-hmm. but she's got rare traits, no question about it. And what fascinates me, or what boggles my mind, is how much her own party has tried to keep her off center stage. This is a woman with really rare political talent.
Mm-hmm.
And they denied her a committee chairmanship. They have tried to keep her sort of on the sidelines to the greatest extent possible to keep the old guard in charge. And to me, you know, when I call her a generational talent, you know, in the sports world, that term gets thrown around a lot for these phenoms who come up and are going to break every record or whatever. And it's an overused term, but in politics, it's not used.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a generational talent, not only because she has rare political talent, but also she represents generational change. She was the youngest woman ever elected to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And she really represents a changing of the guard, and the old guard does not want that changing to happen. And so I was really struck by how a Kenosha minister mm-hmm. decided in these times, he must be heartsick about what he sees in the country. He must be deeply troubled about the nation's soul to lead him to actually be willing to resign his position, to be able to say, look, we need this kind of leadership in our country.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always thought that the lack of support for Democrats was based on what the Republicans were saying about them. But at the same time, there is so much truth in the fact that they are holding themselves back from the next generation, the new yeah. ideas, the people who are driven by something much deeper and much better, a better outlook of this country. And you know, they're just holding it back.
You know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, we really have geriatric politics in our country.
Oh, we do.
It's a real problem.
And both major parties reflect it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you've got this geriatric leadership in our country. And what it ends up leaving us with is one side saying, let's just keep things the way they are. Mm-hmm. And the other side saying, no, let's go back to the 1920s or the 1890s.
Yes, that's even worse. Yeah.
Nobody's talking about tomorrow.
We will continue our conversation with Mike McCabe in just a moment on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX. Stay right here.
Bye.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Bright sunflowers lighten up the day, and they bring such happiness while they stay.
Towering high, such a wondrous sight.
Sunflowers. So happy, so bright.
It's a beautiful day.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the Morning, along with Mike McCabe from Substack.
Got a few more minutes here. Mike, we've been talking about your article here on Substack. You get a lot of reaction on Substack? You get from comments from time to time?
I actually get most of my comments, people email me directly.
Oh,
or
right?
They comment on social media, yeah. and they message me on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to get more comments directly on Substack,
mm-hmm.
but now I get most of the feedback in personal emails and Facebook messages mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
People got their ways of wanting to provide feedback. I think part of what's behind it, to be honest with you, yeah. is that people are wary now of commenting in a very public forum.
Yes.
Yes, you're right.
Because they feel like then that you know, the trolls you're are going to come there. After them. And,
yep.
and so people, and you know, people can respond to a Substack article of mine and email the author directly. And so I get these emails all the time from people
mm-hmm.
who want to share their thoughts, but they kind of want to share them with me. They don't want
privately.
They yeah. don't want to put them out there, which is sad that, you know, I think there's a loss when that kind of public exchange or public dialogue is threatening to people.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we have a lot to worry about with Trump in charge, you know, with surveillance now. You know, Google and all the other services are asking for age verification, which can dip into what we do historically on the web. Of course, they're going to look at our history and figure out, you know, what kind of people we are, what age we might be mm-hmm. from the places we visit. And I have a feeling that they can also sell that information to maybe businesses or corporations that want to know more about us as an employee. So mm-hmm. we might be locked out of the job market simply by visiting a website that they don't agree with.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I've been writing for Substack for almost 3 years now,
mm-hmm.
and I've gotten a very consistent level of feedback from readers, but where that feedback is it comes from is really different.
Yeah.
It's changed dramatically, and people are less likely to put a comment directly out there on the internet.
Yeah.
But they'll share their thoughts with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all just one step away from going bankrupt because of healthcare. We were talking about that earlier. But, you know, when we talk about working hard and saving up, all that just goes away with one healthcare event. And I think that is in the back of everybody's mind, especially anybody who's, you know, has kids or has a job. We know that that money we're saving up could just disappear. It'll be that rainy day fund for an emergency.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And hey, if anybody out there, before we go out, before we're out of time, if anybody out there wants to read that letter to the editor, the man's name is Andrew Tate. The last name is T-A-I-T. Mm-hmm. You can look up Andrew Tate letter to the editor. I bet you'll find it. But also on my Substack, I not only have that most recent article about Jonathan Barker, the Kenosha pastor, and his endorsement of AOC, but on my Substack, which is Avion House at mikemccabe.substack.com, you know, there's a feature called Notes, and you know, I can, aside from the articles I read that I share, I'll occasionally share these other more brief notes, and I have Andrew Tate's letter there, and so people can read it there if they want, if they can't find it elsewhere, but it's really worth reading because I think it speaks for millions.
Well, I think he writes here, I'm not writing this as a Democrat or a Republican. I'm writing this as a man watching families like mine wear themselves thin, working hard, doing the right thing, and still falling behind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he asks the question, who is this country really for? And then he goes into, because it's not for parents doing their best to raise their kids in a broken system. It's not for the factory workers and farmers who show up every day, no matter how little is left in the tank. It's not for the families trying to make life from the land and paycheck and a paycheck. They may be the flag. Maybe the flag doesn't fly for them at all. I don't want handouts. I want fairness. You know,
that's the biggest question.
That's it. That is
to me. Yeah. That's the biggest question we face. Who is this country for?
Yeah.
Is it just for these people who have laid claim to AI and are going to take away everybody's jobs and replace them with machines and then rake in the profits because their costs are lower? Is it just for them, or is it for all of us? His question is such a powerful question.
I think a lot of the makers have been convinced by the Republicans that when you spend money, it's wasting it. We need to spend money on us. That's what it's all about. And they have made that a dirty word. We don't want to spend money. Yeah. We're not going to spend more government money. What is that all about? It's for us. It's our money.
It's our
money. We put it there for you to spend it on us.
Right.
Make life easier.
That's right.
Boy, they made it poison.
So. Well, we need to leave it there. Mike, thank you for joining us. Always good to see you. Mike McCabe's here every Wednesday. And again, check out his excellent Substack articles. You can check them out on Substack.com.
Well, I hope people are benefiting from these therapy sessions that we have.
Tomorrow on the show, we've got Brandy Grayson from Urban Triage. They're putting together a big event, and we'll find out more about that. Also, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will join us. And from Busted Pencils, Tim Slecker talking about the latest in education.
Yeah.
That's the big lineup. Yeah. Stephanie Miller is coming up next. John, you got big plans for today? What are you going to do? Are you going to relax after our marathon broadcast sessions here?
Now I only have to prepare for one show.
Hey, walk down in the dispensaries. I want to see all the dispensaries today.
That's my assignment for today. We're going to send Dom up and down State Street and count how many marijuana dispensaries there are on State Street.
And if you have a chance, listen to last night's Pete Schwabba show where we filled in. It was a fun show.
Yeah. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. It's John and Gordy, WMDX.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.